Yes,
like in the thing. There's a whole help article on using the soundboard, Jim.
I know that. I just haven't read it yet.
Maybe that should be your Saturday activity. You and Luna can sit down and read about
it. You don't need to woman-splain that the soundboard to me.
Could that be the title of this week's episode?
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the 423 Soccer Pod, the podcast that CFC built. Tonight this is Jim. I almost forgot to introduce myself. Tonight I am with Shelly and Shabby. Todd is off saving lives or talking about North Georgia soccer or something else. So actually he's at a game. He's probably
playing with his puppy.
He could be playing with Steve or
a fort.
Building a pillow fort. There's a lot of things that Todd could be doing, but he's not with us tonight. Although he did share a couple of interviews that we're going to be talking about a little bit, and we'll be at the very end of the show. We'll be playing those for you. But I am, like I said, I have Shelly and Shabby with me. Shelly, how are things on the other side of the neighborhood?
Well, they are great. A little chilly. Hoping that we have no power flickering because this rain's coming down, but not too bad otherwise.
Losing power would be bad.
Yeah, it would.
It'd be bad. Shabby, how are things over in Hickson?
Hey, up in here in Hickson, we are staying warm, staying dry, and discovering that everything is closing down. I don't know if you've seen the news. It's like all the restaurants and old stores.
What else closed down?
Everything's closing in Hickson?
Everything's closing down, but everything new is opening. So, one's out. I guess it's first in, first out kind of thing happened up here in Hickson.
Yeah, I saw Cart Soul closed, but anything else?
Well, and the CC's closed, and Best Buy is closing.
Wait, Best Buy? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, but if CC's closing, is that really... are you really worried about CC? I don't know. Maybe that's a family favorite.
No. It's just interesting because every time I opened the newspaper this past week, it was announcing something else.
Something's closed.
Oh, okay.
CC's is okay.
Newspaper.
Well, the digital.
On your iPad. Did you get the free iPad with your digital
subscription? On my phone, when I look at today's headlines.
Okay. No reason to get salty.
I actually can't remember the last time I held a real newspaper in my hand.
Yeah, I can't either. That's a shame, isn't it?
Yesterday I did.
Yesterday? Mm-hmm. I meant to go buy one because there was a story. I read the story on the interwebs, but I really kind of wanted the actual paper version of the newspaper to have for the story talking about the CFC Atlanta United match. I guess it was maybe front page of the sports section, I believe. I think the club tweeted
front page of the paper.
Yeah, it should have been above the fold, right? Big bold letter.
Wait, CFC played Atlanta United?
Yeah. You were in some exotic vacation again.
I was jet lagged.
Traveling.
Our flight made it back literally just before the match, but I was dead on my feet. I'd been awake for 31 hours straight at that point.
Y'all had a long, long day of travel.
Yeah, I feel
like I still waved the flag the whole match.
I'm so sorry that you had a long flight from Hawaii.
Hashtag first world problems.
World problems, yeah.
I had a long drive from Brainerd. But yes, we did play Atlanta United, and what a match it was.
I mean, we're going to talk about it on this podcast tonight.
Yeah,
we'll probably
talk about it right now. So Shabby was asleep, which was fine for the second half. We'll get to that. But the first half was about as much fun as I've had at a friendly in a long time. Shelly, what did you think from where you were sitting?
I mean, it felt real good to be the first ones up on the scoreboard. I don't know about you.
Absolutely.
I think we had a lot. And the thing is that we had a lot of Atlanta United fans interspersed amongst all the sections. There were quite a lot in 110, some in 109. And I think even they were a little bit baffled by that first goal. I mean, it's Marcus. Yeah. We know how good he is. Yep. But it felt really good. And I actually have a picture that I put up on social media that for the brief moment where we were ahead. Remember when? So yeah,
fallen asleep at that point, and I knew it happened because my phone blew up. People that don't even normally text me were like, "Goal!"
Yeah, it was. Oh, and it was electric. I mean, I just in general, Saturday felt so much like pre-COVID old time, like packed out. It was full on the hill. I mean, yeah. it felt so good.
Oh, the hill was full. I saw the picture.
Felt so good. Like it was such a good day. Such a good day.
Yeah. We had a decent lineup. You know, there were some notable absences. Taylor was out, so...
Yeah, do we know what happened with Taylor? Have we heard yet?
Well, okay, so officially the club said he picked up a knock.
So that was
what they said. He was not... I don't think he was there. He wasn't on the bench. He may have been in the stands. I didn't see him, but... So he wasn't playing, and then Partida, the new... Yeah, JP, he was out. I think he's kind of trying to get through a minor injury, which opened the way for, I think, one of the surprise listings in the lineup, which was our right back, which was a trialist. So was his name, I believe. And from, I believe he's South Korean.
He is from South Korea.
Was at open tryouts and then... I mean,
one of two invited back.
We talked about this, Shelley, last week about how amazing it has to be for players to go to an open tryout and then the next week
be playing against Atlanta United.
But
and then you start.
Yeah, it's not just playing against Atlanta United. It's like, hey, guess what? You're starting at right back.
Yeah, and you're probably starting in one of the – loudest, largest crowd you've probably played in today.
Yeah, and I thought overall he acquitted himself pretty well. I mean, he gave away the penalty, which we, you know, but other than that, I thought he played okay. So we'll see. We'll see if he makes it. I think there are three that
are there three? Because I know there were two that were officially announced.
I had heard there were two, and then.
There were three in that little video or tweet that the club put out.
Yeah, so
okay, I must have missed the third. Then, well, I remember seeing the two.
I did too, because initially I think we had heard two, but there must be a third. I don't remember who they were. So we've got a couple of guys who are still with the club, and we'll see if they make it to a contract. I mean, that'd be what a great story that would be for some of our open tryout guys to make it on the squad. I think JP will probably be the starting right back when he's healthy, but he definitely looked like adequate kind of backup and a squad player. I believe he's even a midfielder, and so he dropped back into the fullback role. So I thought that was pretty cool. But you're right, we started real early with the first goal of like the 7th or 8th minute. I don't remember, with Brad Guzan trying desperately to keep the ball in so he didn't give up a corner. Well, good news, Brad. You didn't give up a corner.
He's an old man. Got to give him some.
Well, he didn't give up a corner.
That's true.
You know, to his credit, he didn't give up a corner, but he probably wishes that he had given up a corner because the ball dropped directly to, you know what? I should have looked this up. I don't remember who got the ball. If it was Jaimez who got it and then passed it to Marcus with a one-time finish, puts it away. Yeah, that was pretty incredible. I think I leaned over to Heather and said, "Well, that's it. That's our goal. That's all I wanted out of it today. Is to at least
get a goal.
Yeah, to get a goal. And well, you know, we've done that. So I don't know. What did you think, Shelley, when that goal went in? I thought the crowd's response was just. I mean, it was just electric.
Electric. And the thing is that, you know, we talked last week again about the team's been together for a week officially. And honestly, after that first goal, my first thought was, this doesn't look like a team that's only been really practicing full squad for a week.
Right.
Yeah, but I said it was electric. And I wouldn't say shocked that we scored would be the right word, because, I mean, We do play well, especially since it was a goal by Marcus. But at the same time, I mean, I think we were shocked it was that early on.
Yeah.
Because if you're thinking about it, if this was a actual, like, regular season match, we always talk about we want to be a playoff match. We want to be the first one to put one on the board because that kind of sets the tone for the rest of the match. So kind of equate it to that. I mean, not that they had – It's a preseason friendly. You're playing against an MLS side. It's not like our guys had a lot to prove, but at the same right. time, they did because we are a relatively green to each other team. So, mm-hmm. yeah, but yeah. It always feels good to be the first, no matter who we play, it feels good to be the first one on the board.
Yep. And then, unfortunately, Atlanta United equalizes pretty quickly after that. That was the penalty that was given up by So and. So that's put away. It's 1-1, and then fairly quickly, I wish I'd written down the times of the goals. Atlanta goes ahead by just a real mix up in between. I think it's Colin, and I believe it's Colin who tries to clear the ball, and Jean Antoine is close. The ball kind of ricochets off of maybe Ethan. And drops right to an Atlanta United player, who scores the easiest goal he's probably going to score. Just taps it in to take the 2-1 lead. And at that point, I'm like, you know what? Okay, we've got our goal. This is probably going to end up being like 5-1 now. Mm-hmm. You know, let me just sit back and try
it's
to.
It's going to feel like the Open Cup all over again.
Well, at that time, I was like, let me just sit down because where our seats are. When we got there, we were in the sun, and I thought, cool, we're going to be in the sun for a little bit. We were in the sun for about 10 minutes.
So, then it got cold.
And then you were freezing cold like the right. rest of us because we had that shadow on us.
Yes, and then I was cold, and my wife looked at me with the eyes that said, I told you, but I was, yes, you did tell me, but I was cold. So I was like, I'm just going to sit here, try to stay warm, and watch the rest of the game. And then Damien, again, with one of his many runs down the right, goes down the right, plays the ball across. It gets to Mumu, who I don't know if it's a scuff shot or it must be, or if it was blocked, but it falls right to Marcus, who gets the ball with his left foot and then puts it away. And I'm like, oh my, we're here. This team is ready for this game. We're going to play. It's 2-2 now. Then I'm like, you know what? I want something out of this. I want a draw, or let's just try to win mm-hmm. this game. I was really thinking positively about the team at that point.
Yep. Well, that's the thing too, is that whenever you get that second goal, it's just like, it's not so much a fluke. Like you said, I mean, I think that the boys would have wanted a win. It'd be great to say that we won against mm-hmm. Atlanta United, yeah. like, you know, around, you know, the A team and everything, the first team of them, but I mean, I'll take a draw over a loss to them any day. Again, after, especially, now granted, at the Open Cup, we had more of their, like, full side, not a lot of their academy kids and things like that, too. But still, I mean, they brought a good team to play. Mm-hmm. So,
oh, yeah.
It's not yeah. like they just brought a bunch of, you know, people that they were trying out or anything like that.
Well, I mean, they had a World Cup winner
World
on
Cup
the field.
Winner. Like, Cup.
They had two men's national team mm-hmm. players. I mean, it wasn't, the, you know, maybe they don't have, they don't have their full first 11 yet, but neither do we.
Exactly.
And so
I mean, they're kind of going through a transition period too, because they've lost some of their heavy hitting players. So, yeah.
And then you saw a little bit of that early season. You could tell that the team hasn't been together very long. Mm-hmm. Where there was the Jean Antoine, I think, passes it out to Ethan. Ethan doesn't know that there's a Atlanta United player coming. I don't know if the keeper says anything or if anyone says anything to him, but he gets his pocket picked and Atlanta United scores a third goal. And then you're like, well, you know, when I look back at the three goals that we've conceded, they are all really individual errors. The second one's really a fluke. The first one is a player who just leaves his leg in and takes someone down in the box. And the third goal is just kind of a player who's just not, I don't think maybe not up to the speed of the game and not ready for that type of press and gives the ball up. But these are all very, very correctable things. We didn't really give up a whole lot in the run of play. There were a couple of times I remember a cutback that fell to, I don't remember which Atlanta United player, it fell to them right inside the box and they put it over. They should really be hitting the target from there. But outside of that, I don't really remember a whole lot. And then, you know, right after the restart, soon after, within the next minute, Damian puts his special boots on. Yep. And I think has the play of the game, where it's a free kick that goes to Marcus. Marcus quickly passes it out to Damian. Damian is along the touchline with two players, touches the ball by them, and gets by both and is in the open field, cuts in, has one more player to beat, beats him, and then puts a ball right across the 6-yard box. And Alex McGrath has made a really good run and is standing right there on the 6 and puts it in for the third goal. And in the 44th minute, we are tied 3-3 with Atlanta United. I mean,
crazy. And all I got to say is, like, you know, we talked before about Damian. Like, we really wanted to see more playing time out of him. Mm-hmm. And you forget just how magical he is to watch. He's so fast. So fast.
I tell you what,
it's exciting because he's so young.
Oh, and he's so young. He's got still has tons of growth potential to go, you know, on his playing game. But he's so fast, and when he's on, he is on. Like it's just a joy to watch him.
I am really excited about Taylor on the left, Marcus through the middle, Damian on the right, mm-hmm. with McGrath behind them. We probably need another midfielder there. To make a kind of an attacking five, but wow. I mean, that
makes you really excited as we go into our actual, like, real season.
That's right. If we can, you know, I know we've got Jaimez that can play one of those midfield roles. But if we get somebody else who's creative, and to add with McGrath, that's going to be a really potent attack. So we've talked about the goals. So let's hear them. This is Lucas Panzica and John Nelson on the call. These are the three CFC goals from last weekend.
Guzan keeps it in. Could be an opportunity for CFC, and it's a one-touch finish. Marcus Nagelstad. And it's a shock lead for Chattanooga FC, the NISA Golden Boot winner in 2022. Puts David in front of Goliath in the 8th minute.
And we'll see how it affects him with his speed and mobility.
That's at the feet of Mwape, and it's at Nagelstad on the left foot. Nagelstad! A kick of the corner flag as he's equalized. A 28th minute brace for Marcus Nagelstad, and the fireworks are popping off at Finley Stadium.
Machope Cholan getting adjusted to how things are offensively and the health that you're looking for. Chance here for CFC.
Rodriguez, right side. Alex McGrath ties it up in the 44th minute. It's a goal fest at Finley Stadium. A moment of magic by the 20-year-old Damian Rodriguez that Chattanooga fans are so excited about, created along the right wing, and Alex McGrath cleans it up.
All right, so those are the three goal calls. I don't know, have you guys had a chance to go back and listen to the call or watch any of it have you tried to watch it on 11 Sports?
Well, I haven't yet because of my lovely jury duty this week. My civic duty has left me very little free time. Oh, but that's kind of my plan for tomorrow evening or Saturday because I've got my weekend wide open.
Yeah. I didn't watch it on 11, but what I have done is, when when the Twitter account was doing the flashback replay, I was following that and recreating the game in my head. And then, of course, they had a few really great video clips of key moments. So
yeah, that's hilarious. The CFC account got put in timeout.
Yeah, it did.
That's fun. I was
which
like,
is
what?
Pretty funny.
What in the world did they do? But I think it was a security. I think somebody tried to log on one too many times with maybe
yes,
a bad password.
And it caused a security issue. Yeah. But it is kind of comical.
Yeah. What a day. At least we've got the CFC men account that they could kind of fall back on.
Yeah, exactly.
For that day. But that was funny. That was really funny. So standout players, I think we've got to really start with Damian.
Damian, yes.
I mean, I will say this, and hope I'm not speaking out of school. I don't think Todd will be mad at me for telling the story. So Todd, in his fancy self, got his media pass and was down on the field watching the game. And when Damian made that run, put the pass in, and we scored the equalizer, Todd said he overheard someone from the Atlanta United coaching staff, or maybe it's somebody with their staff, say, who was that guy? And the other person goes, who, what do you mean? Who? And he's like, the guy that just destroyed the left side of our defense.
Who was that? Oh, that is awesome.
So it's probably the thing that's made it around. I mean, those clips have made it around soccer Twitter. I think a lot of people know who Damian Rodriguez is now. We know, mm-hmm. we knew who he was.
We knew. Yeah.
And now other people know who he is as well. Hopefully. Well, you know, I mean, if somebody wants to come and make him an offer, I'm sure the club would entertain, you know, $200,000-$300,000 for.
All right. What they would have to pay to buy him at this point would fund us for the year. So please.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, we don't like to see our players go, but if it's to a higher league and more exposure, then hey.
Atlanta United, I'm sure Davis would be interested in speaking with you about taking over his contract.
Well, same thing for Marcus, though. I've heard more than one person say since Saturday, well, guess we're not going to see Marcus much longer.
We can't.
I say that in jest because I really don't want to lose either of them.
Maybe it's good that some of our other preseason friendlies are not being
broadcast like this was. Yeah, right, no. Yeah. Weren't so high profile.
We don't need anybody else taking looks at our players this close to the season start.
Exactly. So. We haven't even made it to our first official home match.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, and we've lost two players. Oh, but yeah. For good reason.
But and Marcus just starts off where he finished. I mean, mm-hmm. just all the guy knows how to do is.
Yeah, and I don't know about you. I think it felt like our returning players, but from a supporter's side too, because you know we were sitting at CBC afterwards. I swear we all felt like the season just hadn't really ended yet because this preseason game was so much earlier than any of our other matches that we've had preseason.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so we were all like, does anyone feel like we literally, it's like we just took like a month vacation and then came back. It really didn't feel, other than folks not feeling like they were in supporter shape yet for having a couple months off, but it didn't feel like we'd been gone that long. So
really?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mentioned Todd was not here, but he did share a couple of interviews. He speaks with Damian and Fabian out on the field after the game. If you stay till after the episode's over, you'll hear those two interviews from Todd. He did them for Todd does a TV show for North Georgia High School Soccer called Monday Night Football. FUTBOL, and he did those interviews. He shared them, so we'll share them. We'll share them after this show is over. We did have a couple of, and actually new to us because we looked on the website right before we started recording, for some new preseason dates. We have some confirmations of some of our remaining, preseason games. We're starting with, we knew this, 901 in a closed friendly over in Memphis on the 11th. We're playing University of Evansville, also closed, but this one's at home on the February the 18th. And that's an interesting date. We'll talk about why in a little bit later. Then we knew about the Birmingham Legion. The club has announced on the 4th of March, the next time that we'll be able to watch the Blues play at Findlay, one Knoxville FC is coming to town. So the good Knoxville Chattanooga soccer rivalry is renewed on the professional level. Mm-hmm. And then Beeman United is another closed preseason. We played this team last year early on in the preseason. And then we end it with the annual pass game against Huntsville FC, Huntsville City, excuse me, another MLS Next Pro team. So as we said before, we are playing teams from basically every level of men's soccer in the United States.
So wonderful. I think that is just a beautiful thing about our club and why people enjoy playing with us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's we're playing a college team. We're playing an amateur team. We're playing a League One team. We're playing a championship team.
We're playing an MLS
Next Pro, and we just finished playing an MLS team. So I think, you know, I know maybe that's not intentional, but in some ways I think it is. This is who we are as a mm-hmm. club, and you don't see anybody else doing that. You know, I'm just, it's funny. I saw on Twitter, somebody was like, how does Chattanooga get to play Atlanta United? I think it was a Birmingham Legion fan. Like, how did they get that? And I was like, dude, we're just massive.
And maybe you should ask yourself why you aren't.
That's right. Yeah.
Talk to your club about that.
Yeah. I mean, Chattanooga's massive. I don't know what to tell you. I mean,
exactly.
You know, so
we foster some great relationships.
Absolutely.
And let's be honest here. We've got a great legacy. We've paid our dues. We're talking, mm-hmm. we're looking at our 15th season. Like, this is not.
It's not like we woke up yesterday and decided to put a club together.
Yeah. Well, we ain't spring chickens, y'all.
Nope, we sure aren't. And might I say, too, that on the 18th, you know, you touched on it briefly, that's for season pass holders only. So if ever there was another shameless reason to why, if you haven't gotten your season pass yet, that would be why, because you can't come in unless you're a season ticket holder. So
that's right.
Go
ahead and get it. I don't know. I don't know these people who wait till late to get their season passes.
Are they related to you or something?
I don't know what's wrong with these people waiting these long to get their club pass. I mean, come on, people. So yeah, I'm excited for the rest of the preseason mm-hmm. games to see the team fill out. And I don't know if you guys caught some of the extra media that was at the match. They were a couple of good interviews with Coach. And in one, they ask him kind of, you know, where are you in terms of like where the club was last year, the team, you know, they talked about the semifinal game and like where does he see us? And he said, we're nowhere close. That he even mentioned that he felt like there were four or five more starters that we needed to add. So this is still very early.
Yeah, I know.
We're still very early in the process, and the team's going to look pretty different probably.
By the time we get to the 18th, probably.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. We're looking so good, and I'm so optimistic about the team and the year. And this is where I'm probably going to bring the party down a little. But then I look at Misa, and it just keeps looking worse and worse.
I know.
So, like,
that's the thing is, we got like, the highs, and then the
this
lows.
This is wasted. Like,
just focus on the local. That's what I'm reminding myself. Like, you know what? As long as those people in those other clubs don't do anything to mess with our game.
Yes.
But I don't want to be the shiniest turd in the toilet bowl.
Well, okay. First of all, we're not any type of turd.
Right. I agree. But I don't want it to look like we're the shiniest turd.
Okay. The shiniest penny in the wishing well. How about that?
I mean, we're the shiniest penny in the turd bucket. I mean, maybe that's, you know, that's, okay, that's, I'm just going to mix those metaphors.
We're going to create our own metaphors this evening.
Well, yeah.
A pulse flower. Come on.
Yeah. And you know what? What else? You know, I think this season's going to be really good. And unfortunately, we'll be doing it without Jeremy. You know, that's, you thought you were bringing the room down, Shabby. I'm going to really bring it down. You know, we talked a little bit to Sam last week about, you know, how the FOs reacted, how the staff kind of felt after Jeremy announced that he was leaving. And I don't know, how were you guys? I told you that he had texted me the morning, I guess, maybe the early afternoon, of the day of the announcement that the club put it out. And he said, Jim, hey, do you got a second? And I thought, okay, a player wants to take some classes, or I said something on Twitter that he wants to talk to me about, or who knows what. I was like, okay, I've got meetings until 4:00. I'll call you then. He's like, sure, that's fine. And My meetings went past four, and I'm standing there with my boss at like 4:15, trying to get away so I could call Jeremy and see what he needs. And my phone starts going nuts, and I look at it, and all I read is, "Hey, I wanted to tell you before the club announced my departure." And I just, that's all I read. And then you know, the movies where the actor or the character, maybe it's, they're in shock and
the world stands still and stuff starts moving around.
Right.
Them.
And there's a ringing in their ears and everything just kind of goes fuzzy. I have no idea what my boss said to me for the next 5 minutes. And I at that point I was like, I was really saying anything that I could so I could get away from him to go and respond to that text and talk to other people about what's going on. It really was a punch to the gut. Now, I mean, I've heard and we've heard that it's a really good opportunity for Jeremy. And that's really another thing about this club. You know, we just joked about Damian doing so well and somebody seeing him and plucking him away. Well, it's the same thing with our FO. Our staff are doing, this is their career. So they're doing good things here. But if they do good things here, that means other people are going to see that.
And that's because it looks good for our club. So just imagine if you've got your CEO who has now, going to, because obviously it hasn't been fully announced where he's going or anything like that. But we all have to assume that it's to a higher position somewhere. So that speaks volumes for our clubs. Wow. So we've got this team who is playing all of these people in their free preseason, including MLS. And now they've got their CEO that's getting to this position. I mean, that looks great on the club, from a standpoint of, man, we might be able to get some talent coming in who want to fill his very large shoes to fill because they see what he has done coming from our club.
Yeah, but, once a blue, always a blue.
Exactly.
He has stood by the team and he's stood by us and we celebrate his success. And, I told him that day because he had called me that morning. And I know, Shelley, he called you. He called those of us that were, related to the club in some way. And, in our capacity as being on the women's board, I know he had said he wanted to, talk to us so that we had a chance to hear from him directly before the press announcements and things. And he was almost apologetic, and I was like, no, man, I'm thrilled for you. I know, cause he couldn't tell me where he was going. And I was like, but it's good. Right. This is good. You're moving on to better things. Right. And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, that's all I care about, man.
You've not been indicted, have you?
Cause it's one of those things where it's sad because you don't want to see, we don't want to see players go, you don't want to see people who are part of the club that have made such a great impact and have moved us so far ahead from where we were. But at the same time, if they're going on to bigger things, you don't want to hold them back either. And so you're proud of them because it's we can always say, we remember when Jeremy was our CEO and all of these things we did, because he was very instrumental in helping us get the women's team back going,
Absolutely.
So, he leaves such a great legacy, which is a testament to him and his belief system and how he believed in our community and our club. I think that's really going to help us as we, move ahead. And obviously we've got Davis who's interim, filling in as interim, but I think this is really going to help us move ahead as we find, the next Jeremy in our legacy. It's just one more chapter in the book of CFC.
Yeah. And I've talked to some supporters who were like, are you going to be able to get another Jeremy because, where we are and what league we're in and all this stuff. And I'm like, we attracted a talent like Jeremy when the club was in a much worse situation.
Space. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We don't like to dwell on what things were before Jeremy came, but we're in a much better place now.
Right.
Than we were then. And I think that is going to help us as we search for Jeremy's replacement because we are in such a great place.
Yeah.
And let's just face it. Jeremy was fucking good at what he did. So, I mean,
I've got to think there are any number of younger, executives on a number of levels of soccer who are looking at the opportunity to go lead a club that with the history and the footprint of a Chattanooga FC, and they see that that players that go through there have opportunities, that staff that go through, that come through this club have opportunities. They see this as a place where they can go do some really cool things in a cool community with good support, that will be a boost to their own career. And I don't know really how much more we can ask, how much more we can ask of the club to create those types of situations for staff and for players. So, I'm sad that, I won't get to rib him about Liverpool or Manganatas anymore. Or at least not face to face. Maybe I'll continue to do that. If I can ever figure out his burner Twitter account, then we could talk. We could really talk.
What would you do if you found out with something like Pulse Flower? Like it was under your nose this entire time.
It'd be devastating. Yeah, it was some account that I've talked to for like the last 5 years. I just never knew who it was. Yeah.
It was really Jeremy.
Right. It was Jeremy all along.
It's you. Yeah.
So, those pesky kids.
It's like Lost when you found out they really weren't stranded.
I've never seen the end of Lost. You've completely ruined the whole thing for me.
I'm here to crush dreams, Jim. I'm the dream crusher.
All right. Well, Davis, I believe at one point said the search is going to start next week. So they're going to take this week to kind of get over and get through the Atlanta United game and then start the search. I'm sure it'll be an international search. I really am not overly worried about the types of people that are going to be interested in the club. And I'm looking forward to seeing who is next. And
hear Tom Brady's available.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry.
Be our own version of Ted Lasso. But
yeah. Okay. That would worry me a little bit. He's going to be missed. The really cool thing about him that I just want to mention, it wasn't only the kind of his business acumen or his ability to know and understand kind of this industry of soccer and have the connections. It was how seamlessly he kind of fit in personality wise with our culture. And yeah.
You would have thought he'd been here forever. I mean,
of that too was just his willingness and openness and just straight up transparency in his feelings. And the fact that he wanted to come out and talk to everybody and shake the hands and like really take the time to build the relationships and know the people personally. And that's huge. He didn't lock himself away in an ivory tower. Right.
Exactly. And I think, too, we've always been lucky with our club to have an open relationship with the front office, which is what sets us apart a lot. I think you hear other clubs and their supporters talk about the same, is that we are a club that has a very good relationship with our front office. But Jeremy, I think, was one of the first ones, like Shabby said, he really got in there and showed up to all, had Q&A sessions, showed up to social hours, and really got to know the club and what it was about, what the supporters were about. And, he was true to his word. He was one of the first people that we've had in this type of position. It was like, if you've got a problem, let me know. We'll sit down, we'll have a beer, we'll talk about it. And if I can, we'll come up with a solution. And if I can tell you this, I will. If not, just know that I'll work on it. And I mean, I think that really is what helped him integrate into the club and into the city as well as he did.
So if I do have something I worry about is finding somebody with those kind of
who's going to fill those shoes.
Right. Yeah. What some people would call the soft skills, I guess.
I think that's probably one of the main things they're looking for. I mean,
yes,
we've been so methodical about our club and how we've built it. We always talk about doing things the right way and what really is the spirit of the club, the ethos of the club. They're not going to throw that away now.
Well, the trajectory that we're on, I think it would be a disservice to the club and everyone and every level that's a part of it if we took two steps back and didn't find someone. Because obviously you don't want to have a cookie cutter of what Jeremy is, because that will do a disservice to all the great things he did for the club. So it's almost like you're going to want to have, like, you know, go the next level of that, that, you know, put, understands our ethos, keeps the momentum going, but also puts their own mark on how they see our club growing.
Yeah. Well, so Godspeed, Jeremy. This is not goodbye. This is see you later.
So we see you again.
Yep.
Absolutely.
And so moving on to maybe some more positive things.
Very exciting news.
We have not only had some signings and news on the men's side, but starting, was it yesterday? We got our first,
because it was Women in Sports Day.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
And
we
kudos have our club for doing a lot of posting about that too.
About that, and
we got signings, like, y'all, we're so ahead of the game compared to where
and
we were
so
last
far
year.
Ahead of last season. Woo-hoo. Yes.
So I'm happy the club celebrated that, and I also, you know, that the club has already started doing some postings about African American history, Black History Month. Mm-hmm. So yep. I think it's good to mention that. But yeah, first signing, Avery Catlett. Avery was with the team last year. She is a center back, plays for the Mocs. Yep. So right here in Chattanooga. So she was the first signing of this year, and then we backed that up with, you know, the captain. The team captain is coming back.
I've got the lantern.
Yep. We've got at least one lantern. Anna will be with us again. So again, last year's captain, I believe the Southeast Best 11 and for WPSL. So really excited to have those two back, starting with kind of finding a good solid foundation in the back line for the women's team. But I know we've got more. I know we've got some more really exciting things coming. I know that Coach has been really busy and has already gotten several players lined up and working on others. So I think we're going to hear a lot more about the team coming pretty soon. And then February 18th. And that's why one of those friendly dates is so interesting, because the morning of the 18th, we have women's open tryouts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then I guess maybe that evening there's going to be a friendly. So
yeah,
so,
that University of Evansville, Matt.
Yep. So just we'll be thinking about you, FO, and team staff. At least it's a closed friendly, right?
Yeah, so you don't have to worry about tickets.
Right. You don't have to worry about
sessions and all those things.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about making sure the Manganatas are there.
So it's gonna be a long day for everybody like involved.
Jim, would you let me just bring you some Manganatas at that tryout?
Yeah, yeah, right. No, I'm good. Like I said before we started recording, I might need to back off on the Manganata. I mean, everybody realizes that this is just a thing I do, right? Like, I mean, it's just a bit.
Yeah,
you keep saying that, but we all know how seriously you take your Manganatas.
Well, listen, I do enjoy them.
I mean, you talked about getting rid of everything in your deep freezer and filling it full of mango. Because you found where you can order, was 100 pounds, 50 pounds, whatever it was.
Yeah, I could order 50 pounds. It wasn't that expensive. Now that you mention it, I need to go order some. So, I mean, it's not difficult. You need mango, you need Sprite, you need some chamoy, and you need some tahini, and boom, you're done.
And then you're good to go.
You're good to go. So it's not difficult to make. But yeah, I might need to back off a little bit. I was approached by a member of the front office who said that she was receiving late night phone calls about Manganatas.
Of all things to get a late night call about.
which I was like, I mean, I both apologized and was like, I almost fell over laughing at the same time.
I mean, it's kind of funny, like, of all things.
and then I told you guys this. I went over before the game because the taco truck was there, and I went up and I was like, "Hey, you have any Manganatas?" And the guys started laughing, and so I was like, "Wait, okay, like, he knows something. Something's up." So he just laughed. He's like, "No," and I'm like, "Okay, well, maybe next week." And I'm walking back, and I see Brian, and executive director for the stadium, and I'm like, well, no Manganatas today. And he's like, well, I talked to him and he told me he's not just doing it for one person. I was like, what?
Well, keep two, because I'll always drink one.
Like, that's
and I've yet to have one, so I need to try it.
You haven't had one yet?
No.
Oh, my God. How did you make it? How did I allow you on this podcast and you've never had a Manganaw?
Well, remember last year you walked up already having it in hand because I was busy setting it up.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay.
That's on YouTube.
I will buy the two of you a Manganata as soon as they're there. But yeah, I might need to back off a little bit on the bit.
Or it won't be the same without Jeremy anyway.
Yeah, no. Now that Jeremy's gone, you know, finally the shackles have been taken off the Manganatas.
I'm going to make you a button with my button maker that says, ask me about Manganatas.
Did you not hear me? I need to back off on the bit.
I didn't say you had to wear it to Finley. I'm just going to make you a button. What you do with it is up to you.
Okay. Oh, so, goodness. Yeah. So, new signings, tryouts coming up. The women's team is taking shape and really, really exciting for season number two. We also had some new merch.
Yeah, that lots came of out. New merch.
Lots of new merch. But most importantly, if you've not seen it, the new owner's jersey.
It's when so pretty.
When I first saw it.
Deleted user.
Yes. Yeah. Somebody found a little Easter egg. The first time I saw it, I wasn't really sure. You know, I was like, but when I see it, when I saw it like on the players in the sun, that's a really nice. That's it's a really pretty. Nice kit.
Did you buy it? I bought it.
No, I haven't bought one yet. I haven't bought one. I did try to search for my name. And again, like the first owner's jersey, I tried to search for my name. And,
are you in the armpit?
Huh? I don't know. I mean, I found myself. I don't remember where. I don't remember where my name is. But when
will
I
you
searched,
be listed as Jim or listed as like a James.
I think it's James. Okay.
Well, I've got mine. I haven't put it up in the drawer yet. So I will...
Yeah.
I'll see if I can find you. So two people have messaged me pictures that they found my name. So.
Did they? Yeah. So when I
looked, I've yet to find my own name on other ones. Well, I don't know. I found mine on the gold one.
The gold one?
The last day we were in Mexico, like about to fly out, I looked over because Breezy was wearing it. And it was like near, I was like eye level. I was like, there's my name. But yeah. I have not found it on the original. Yeah. And then, yeah. So.
Yeah, well, the first one came out, I searched, and then the first name whose name I found first? Caniglio's.
Oh, David.
And I was David like, Caniglio. Are you kidding? I didn't even stop. I was like, that just pissed me off, so I'm gonna stop looking. And then somebody put a picture up of kind of where their name is, and in that, I found like five people that I know. Did I find mine? No. Did I find my name? Absolutely not. Am I going to tell those five people where their name is? No, I'm not.
Well, you know, they say the best thing to do is find a person to buddy up with and you look for each other's names because you're more likely to find someone else's name than your own.
I guess.
Statistically. Well, you should make Jim, you and I can pair up once you get yours.
Okay.
I mean,
once I get it. Yeah.
I like the foil shirt that came out personally too. That one's very nice.
The foil shirt? Oh, the
yes,
oh
the
15 gold.
Season? No. It's navy blue with silver foil.
Silver.
Yes.
Yeah.
I meant to buy it last Saturday. I didn't. So next chance. Or I'll just order it online. One of the
yeah. David's having fun with the
heat press.
With the heat
I understand.
Press
I've got a heat press and I want to heat press everything now. I made my own game day bag. Made a boat tote.
You did?
Yes, I did.
Wow, that's neat.
With my heat press.
With your heat press.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, yeah. So we actually have some NISA news to talk about.
I mean, if you can call it.
Oh, excuse
it
me.
That.
Some good.
Yeah, let's preface that. Some not negative NISA news.
Right. Some. Yeah. Maybe I should say not negative. I don't know how good. I mean, we just we finally got
some semi okay.
The day, like, we finally got on the deadline day. We finally got confirmation of who's going to be playing in the 23 schedule.
But here's the thing I don't understand. I thought legally and in the bylaws, you had to have 10 teams to be a league.
No, eight.
It's eight. Okay.
Yeah. Eight. Yeah.
All right. Because I thought it was 10, and I was like, what magic did we work to squeeze through with 9?
And also, can I lobby for us to always talk about NISA and, like, we call it this week's neutral NISA segment?
Neutral NISA segment.
Okay. Or neutral NISA news. Do
neutral
some alliteration.
NISA. Oh, yeah.
So, neutral NISA news.
Neutral NISA news.
Yeah. So we've got three new clubs. I think we all knew this, though. The Club de Leon, in
Florida. Savannah Clovers.
And then Gold Star. Cause
the Liechtensteinian group or whatever?
Huh? What?
They're from Liechtenstein or whatever?
Oh, no, no, no.
No, it's...
no, you're thinking of...
Andorra. The Andorran...
Yeah. Andorra, yeah.
Yeah, another little, another small principality in Europe, not Liechtenstein. Or not Liechtenstein, not Luxembourg, not the Vatican, but Andorra.
Not Slovenia.
Not, well, Slovenia is a little bigger than, I don't know if it's bigger. I don't know who, I don't know the size, the relative size, but Andorra is pretty small. Yes, yes, yeah, it's the Andorran, this, the people who own Gold Star also own some Andorra. Team and the Andorran League. And if you don't know where Andorra is, go look it up.
Yeah, we already had that geographical.
And did you see that they announced they're going to have a new stadium in collaboration with Madonna University?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
I mean.
In Livonia.
Yeah, which is where some of our friends from the Great North of Detroit live.
Right, yeah.
Livonia.
Yeah. So yeah, so we got three new teams. Let's hope that these three teams fare better than last year's new team.
Albion decided to stay in it.
So yeah, and then Albion, I don't know what they're back or they never went. We don't really know.
Well, it was kind of like they hadn't posted anything on their social media.
But that doesn't mean anything. Nobody else
cares. Well, that's true. In the off season, they probably just didn't have fun to keep the lights on like everybody else.
Yeah.
Well, they lost their coach to somewhere and. And they're searching. They don't, I haven't seen any player announcements, but so it'll be Albion, us, LA Force, the Bobcats, the other Michigan Stars, and
City Union, which at least this time City is really Union. A union.
Pulse Flower
that we really should try to get make Pulse Flower happen. It makes more sense.
Pulse Flower, the merged Flower City Union, Salt City Union.
But no
Union
Cal
clubs.
United.
But no Cal United. They're taking a hiatus, which we know what that typically means in lower division soccer.
Yeah. It's the diplomatic way of saying peace out.
Right. Yep.
Well, I like how in their press release they're saying, though, that it will be under new ownership and is expected back for the 2024 season. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to hold my breath.
Yeah, me neither. Well, club that has said that, it hasn't really happened.
I just think it's cute that they're saying they're already saying there's going to be a 2024.
I know.
Season.
I mean, that's did you consult your magic eight ball? And they told you chances are clear.
I don't know. So anyway, the 2023 format will look a lot like the 2022. So it's going to be a single table. Well, I should say it looks like the second
version half of 2022.
Of 2022. Yeah. It doesn't look like the first part of 2022.
Anissa gonna Anissa. Yeah, we changed rules halfway through.
Right. So it's a single table. Playoff. Six teams make the playoffs. The top two get a first round bye. My hope, and I seriously doubt this is going to happen, but my hope is that the quarterfinal game takes place during the week. And then the semifinal takes place on that weekend because needs to be an advantage to having a bye week or having a bye game. And that doesn't need to be, you're going to be not playing for 2 or 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Because that could be a pretty short turnaround.
And I like this is going to be a little less travel heavy. You know, we don't have four teams out in California to go play this time around. Mm-hmm.
Honestly, since we have Savannah, that's probably our closest drivable.
Yeah.
It's closer than driving to either of the Michigan teams.
Yeah.
Well, Orlando's not bad either, though. That's an 8-hour drive.
Orlando's probably not.
Orlando's not bad either. No. But the thing is that Savannah, that's 6 hours down the road. That's it's the closest thing to being MPSL days going to New Orleans.
Right.
Yes.
A big part of going to a pro league. And use pro as loosely as you want with Nisa. But the thing is, that's kind of one of the downsides that a lot of people talked about, especially whenever we did, when we did MPSL Pro and then Nisa, is that you've got teams that are so spread out. So MPSL days, everything was regional up until the playoff time. So you could have a very heavy contingency of, it wasn't cost prohibitive to go and see the team play because you can easily draw places, which is great about the Women's League. Again, shameless plug for getting women's teams. So it's easy for us to travel and see them, but it's hard for folks to buy tickets to California because you have to fly. Unless you want to take 3 days driving, it's kind of cost prohibitive, especially if a large family or things like that, and flights aren't the cheapest these days. But having things like Orlando to drive, because I mean, I've driven on a hard drive, between that going to Savannah, it's going to make it easier for folks who couldn't really in the past 2 years do a lot of that travel because it just wasn't cost prohibitive. You can easily make a road trip out of it and be as close to like old days of MPSL. So I like that because I love, you know, at home matches. It's great, but there's nothing like going to an away match, especially with a large group. It's a good way to kind of get to know people and you know, and the it's really cool to see what the players' response whenever a large group of fans just pops up because they don't expect. A lot of these guys have never seen fans actually travel to come and see them play. So I like the fact that we might have a large turnout. Cause last year, whenever we did Savannah, it was tons of fun. When we just did the friend, was that last year or that 2 years ago?
Two years ago.
I'm telling you, these COVID years, they deal with me. It wasn't last year. Yeah, so 2 years ago when we did Savannah. Yeah. So, and that was a lot of fun. We had a really good group that went down there. So I'm excited to go back and actually play them again. They've got a great stadium too. I'm assuming they're playing at the same place. And it's a really great stadium.
And we just need those dates so I can start like scheduling. Planning because even, you know, even my wife is like, oh, Savannah, we can go to Savannah.
Yeah. It's a great city.
Go to
Orlando. We can all go to Harry Potter World before the match.
We can go to Harry Potter World or Gatorland. If you've not been to Gatorland, it is as glorious as it
like Gators, like chompity chomp will cut off my fingers Gatorland is like the Florida Gators.
No, real alligators.
Is this in Savannah or
no? This is Orlando.
Is it Orlando? Okay. I'm learning new things. It's something for me to Google.
Google it. It is as glorious as you think it is.
Okay.
From an animal care standpoint, you need to probably suspend your PETA card before you go. But people watching and listen, you can buy like the gator pack.
You had me at people watching.
Yeah. You can buy the gator pack, which is like six of the most disgusting hot dogs that you can buy. And then a bunch of fish food. Cause they have like a carp the size of small buses.
So do they get the carp from Lake Winnie?
Probably. So you can feed the carp. You can also feed the gators. And you know, I've got pictures of my boys quote unquote wrestling a gator. So you can get, yep. Oh yeah, it's
that would be some great social media for the club.
Chattahooligans, you know,
Chattahooligans wrestle gators before CFC match.
Exactly right. So I mean,
Freeman Gator zipline.
I say, can we get a gator wearing a CFC jersey for a picture?
Maybe. Who knows? I'm just telling you that it's an experience, and it is as glorious as you think.
I am here for experiences.
So. Yeah. Yeah.
It is making memories.
So maybe that's my addition to what's making me smile this week is the thought of going to Gator World or Gatorland before the CFC match. But I'm going to throw it around to you two this is how I want to end every week with what's making us smile. So, Shelly, what's making you smile this week?
Actually, I think last Saturday and the high, still being on the high from last Saturday is making me smile. I mean, Saturday was so good. It felt, we had skillet curling, we had CFC, CVC afterwards. So yeah, I think how successful and how the city turned out, you know, to support the team was just great. So that's making me smile. It's hard to not smile after a great weekend.
Awesome. Shabby, what's making you smile?
I got a lot of things to smile about lately, so I'm very thankful for that, knock on wood. But today was an extra special day where my mommy heart got to, like, swell three times bigger because we took my daughter to go get her license.
Oh, wow. Did she get it?
She officially got her learner's permit today.
Okay.
All right. So everybody stay off the sidewalks in downtown Chattanooga.
There you go.
Shabby's daughter's got
Behind the wheel of the car, yeah.
One step closer.
Yeah, one step closer to freedom for the parents.
Yeah. So,
yeah, no longer cab drivers. That is something to be very happy about. So I mentioned I'm happy about the thought of going to Gatorland, but beyond that, hey, it's Jim. I don't know. I don't know what to call this.
You wanted to go splash around in Gator Gully Splash Park. I know.
I really can't wait to Google this after this.
So I'm going to go ahead and, like, last week I mentioned that I was watching a crime drama from Switzerland. So I'm done with that. Although Swiss German is very interesting to listen to. And then now we have moved to Finland. So
there's a Finnish
crime drama called Border Town, and it takes place, I can't remember what the name of the town is, but it's on the border of Finland and Russia.
Lappeenranta?
Good stop.
Is it Lappeenranta?
It could be. That does sound familiar. It may be that town where it takes place.
Interesting.
Have you been there?
Yes, I spent a month living there.
Oh, really? Well, yes. You should definitely check it out. If it's filmed on location, I have no idea.
It's called Border Town, you said?
Border Town on the Netflix.
On the Netflix.
Yep.
Border Town draws.
Yes. So I have this weird thing with Nordic or kind of European.
Are you wanting to be Norwegian?
Crime dramas. Well, it's just that normally that they involve a detective who is broken.
Okay.
In some way, I started off with Wallander on the BBC, and then Wallander. There is actually a Swedish version of Wallander. It's based on a series of books by a Swedish author, and so that's what introduced me to I guess what some people call Nordic noir. Even though, I mean, Switzerland is not Nordic, but anyway, it's the same.
Yes, but, that is the setting.
Yeah,
Lappeenranta. Yes.
No, you should check it out.
Wow, that is wild. Well, I can watch it and tell you if it was filmed on location.
Yeah, exactly. You should check it out. Well, a lot of people get killed there, apparently. So
not in real life. It's very surreal. I mean, I didn't witness it, but it is very close to the Russian border.
The first couple seasons, there are some people who got killed. So I'm just saying.
I would think for a crime drama that.
That would be fitting.
Yeah, there's
but
some
generally,
crime.
You do know that Finland is the happiest country in the world, right?
Well, I mean, except for the people that died.
Except for the people that died.
Yeah, I don't think they're
and
happy.
The people that get caught for killing the people.
Well, anyway, Border Town, check it out. And next week, maybe I'll have a new Nordic crime drama that I can share with you. I got a whole list of ones I've already watched.
Well, I don't know about crime dramas, but I will say one of the things I watched on one of these ridiculously long flights last week was The Woman King. If you all have not watched that yet.
The Woman King?
The Woman King. Stunning. Amazing. Okay, I cannot say enough good things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
I've seen it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've seen it. Ads. I've seen like marketing for it.
Oh my gosh!
Viola Davis ate up every damn scene.
Like, it was amazing.
Okay.
And about the whole Agoji fighters and like it was so good.
Well, if I'm on a flight to some exotic location in the next couple of weeks,
I'll be.
Folks,
Jim, you need to hang out with us more.
I'm living my life wrong. I've spent the last several years just
rent it on Amazon Prime for $5.99, dude. It's worth it.
Okay, all right. Well, now you have two things that are making you smile. Awesome. All right. Well, that's it for this week. Shelley, where can folks find you on the interwebs?
They can find me on Twitter at ShelleyAirs82.
And Shabby.
On Twitter at Shabby Bell, ShabyBelle.
And you can still, for the moment, until Elon can fully pisses me off, you can still find me on, or mute me or block me on Twitter at Chattagooner. And until we see you guys again, go CFC.
Go Blue.
Mahomes in Oliveira with a cheeky goal.
Once again, I'm here with Damian Rodriguez, the first pro signing from Dalton High School. Man, you just had 45 minutes against the Atlanta first team, which, if I'm not mistaken, you just tore down the whole right side of the defense to give the assist. Dude, tell us about that moment.
If I'm going to be honest with you, I really don't remember much. All I remember is I turned on the guy. As soon as the two guys fell for the first fake, I kicked the ball forward, and from the corner of my eye, I see you, the guy that was ready to side tackle me. So I just sent it up a little bit, and I threw on goal to give the six to Alex.
Now, early in the half, you were matched up against Andrew Gutman, right, and it looked like he was trying to body you up pretty good. So tell me a little bit about, like, what that was like, because I mean, he looked like he's putting you under a lot of pressure.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, after all, it was over, like, a fun experience playing against a team like Atlanta. Gutman, a good player. He'd come in every single time, win the ball and everything, but it was just great.
And if you could just speak to a little bit about, like, you know, what it means, like, coming up from Dalton and playing under, you know, and Dalton, a kid from Dalton, that's right. That's what it means, like, you know, coming to Dalton, representing Dalton at this level.
Oh, it's special because I'm basically worked my whole life for it. Playing against a team in Atlanta, they're an hour away from my house, Chattanooga 40 minutes away, so it's great that I get to play for Chattanooga.
Congratulations on a great day, and good luck the rest of the season.
Thank you.
All right, this is Todd with the Monday Night Football crew up here with Fabian Rodriguez, who just like had a good 45 minutes versus Atlanta United. Fabian, can you tell us a little bit about like the feelings that were out there? You're going up against Atlanta United, team you see on ESPN, against some world-class players.
I felt good out there. A blessing being able to come out here and play. They're a really good team, and just wish them for good luck for the rest of the season. And same with us, just try to get up there and win the championship, what we're here for.
And can you talk to me a little bit about like what your upbringing, like, you know, playing at Dalton High under Coach Cheeves and, you know, some of the leagues in Dalton, like how you feel like that, you know, maybe helped you develop and be ready for this moment?
Yeah, playing a lot, well, Sunday league, that helped a lot because I got used to playing versus older kids. I've been playing versus older people or, like, ever since I was young in club. And playing with Coach Cheeves, the condition he gave us and, like, play out wide, he got – that's what we mostly do here. So bringing that into here was, like, pretty easy since I was already used to it with high school.
All right, man. Well, I appreciate it. Congratulations.
Thank
and
you.
Have a great rest of your season.
You too.